Rav Aron asked me to talk about Talmud Torah, or even more specifically, Amelus Torah, toiling in Torah. Especially now that I speak to the guys once a week at night, I figured that at these times, during the Shana Bet Musar, to leave aside a little bit of the entertainment, stories and the jokes, and when the Shana Aleph guys are not here, maybe to be a little bit more serious in the Sichas Musar. It requires you to maybe to work a little bit harder, but I think at the end of the day, you're ready for it, and I think that there's a lot that we could gain if we take the topics seriously. One of the most common questions that the Talmidim ask is, why should we learn Be'iyun? At the end of the day, we only have a few years in yeshiva, and Shas is large. By the way, Tanakh and Mishnayis is not so large. Tanakh and Mishnayis, that if you spend your time every day to do a little bit, that, as Rav Shai points out beautifully, if you're going to start, you're going to finish. But Shas is a little bit harder. So in these couple of years that we're in yeshiva, why don't we focus on, not only in the afternoon and at night to cover ground, maybe in the morning as well. And why is it that we spend time looking at Rishonim and Achronim and worry about how to punctuate and how to read and what's the Havamina and what's the Maskana of the Gemara, what did the Gemara think originally, what was the Maskana, what was the logic? Let's open an art scroll. Rav Nevin Sal Shlita has said positive things about art scroll. Let's open an art scroll and let's cover ground. It's a good question. It's not a silly question. Question number one. Question number two is, at the end of the day, the Torah's requirement for us to be amel, to be labor in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, is not only something that's nice, that's an idea in yeshiva, that's correct, will prove why it's important, Be'ezer Hashem, to learn Be'iyun in these formative years, but it's even more than that. The Torah HaKadosha describes in Parshas Bechukosai, according to the way Chazal understand the Psukim, in Bechukosai Telechu Shetiyu Amelim B'Torah, that a person has to toil in Torah. We'll show in a moment the relationship between learning Be'iyun and toiling. And the inverse is also true. The Torah also says, in Bechukosai Tim Osu, if you are going to disdain my Torah, my ordinances, Chazal understand that that means that a person didn't toil in Torah. So, someone who goes in the ways of God, in Bechukosai Telech, that's someone who toils in Torah. In Bechukosai Timosu, someone who shows grave disdain to my Torah, and all the klalos follow with that, that's someone who doesn't toil in Torah. Now, that's a heavy, heavy indictment. Because what we're saying is that someone who is a good Orthodox Jew could chas v'cholila be someone who's bechukosai timosu, could denigrate and disdain God's ordinances. How? Why? Two basic questions. Why learn Be'iyun? And how is it that someone who doesn't toil in Torah is a bechukosai timosu? To answer these questions, I'd like to analyze with you a beautiful Gemara in Chagiga Daf Gimel Amud Beis. It happens to be one of my favorite Gemaras. I've made reference to this Gemara in the past, but I think we're ready for it. I hope Rav Aron or Rav Shai, I'm right, that the Talmidim will bear with me in going through this Haggadah for 15 lines and go through stage by stage of the Gemara, every single word. It's one of the most beautiful Gemaras in Shas, for me, one of the most beautiful Haggadahs. And there's so much here. And there's so much there that answers our question. Before we go on, before we read the Gemara inside, Chagiga Gimel Amud Beis, I want to emphasize something. When I talk about toiling in Torah, I am not talking about any quote-unquote derech halimut. I'm not talking about any particular style. I'm talking about iyun, laboring in Torah, any style of learning. But we need to understand and internalize what the importance of amelus b'Torah is. The truth is, this Gemara doesn't even use the word amelus b'Torah. The Gemara describes some of the drashos of Rabbi Elazar ben Azaira. And the Gemara quotes two lines from the top on Dav Gimel Amud Beis, a beautiful, beautiful pasuk from Koheles. And we'll translate every word. Again, this will be a little bit slower than a regular, 10-minute musa or something like that. We'll go through the Gemara word by word. If there's a word that I don't translate, you could take notes on the Gemara. If there's a word that I don't translate, something's not clear in the Gemara, stop me and we'll translate. The pasuk in Koheles says, second line, Divrei Chachom Kidarvonos. The words of the Chachomim are like a yoke that guides a cow. Ukimismaros Nituim. And they're like nails, and they are planted. Bale asufos. None of this is going to make sense yet until we see how Chazal explained the pasuk. Bale asufos. There are people who gather things in. Nasnu meroa echad. And it was given from one shepherd. The Gemara is going to take apart every single word of what that pasuk means. We're not going to even go through what would the simple pshat be. We're going to jump in immediately to how Chazal understand it. Lama nimshu divrei teira ledarvan. Why is it that the words of Teira are like a yoke that guides a cow in his work? Loimar lecha, ma darvan ze michavein es hapara litalmeha lahotzi chayim laolam. Just like the yoke on the cow guides the cow to bring life to the world. In other words, without the plowing of the cow, there would be no food in the world. Af divrei Torah michavnin es lomdeyem midarkei misa ledarkei chayim. Again, nothing short of life and death. Nothing short of life and death. Torah guides a person midarkei misa ledarkei chayim. I mentioned in the past, and we have to repeat it again, that the world that we grow up in, the Western culture that we've been raised in, is a world in which there is no direction to chayim. There's no direction to life. Thank God, in the United States of America, we have a system of governance where rights are extremely important, a Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights, by definition, gives an individual the choice. There's nothing in the culture that directs a person to life over death. In fact, on a certain level, if not for the inspiration of the founding fathers in the United States of America that come from a Judeo-Christian background, there should be no justification for why abortion should be prohibited according to American law. It's a person's right to choose. It's my body. I can do what I want with it. And therefore, if an individual decides to end their lives, which is going through the courts right now, then at the end of the day, the country should not be able to stop the person. Again, if not for the values of the founding fathers that come from Judeo-Christian background. Lahavdil ben avodah zarah v'darech hachayim. We come from a culture where a person's rights are what's central, and therefore everything is relative. I mentioned to you in the past, I was stunned. I saw an advertisement for a Nissan, a bright Nissan, and it says, be a saint, be a sinner, just be. Person could choose. There's no darkei chayim. And what Torah HaKadosha does is it begins to force a person to confront, to begin to slowly confront absolute values in our existence. If a person is just reading the Gemara and gathering a lot of information, so then in such a case, they run the risk of turning the Talmud into another book with a lot of information. The way in which a person goes, midarkei misa l'chayim, where there is no longer a life of relativism, but where a person learns the value of life and the essence of life and a relationship with something that's divine and above our corporeal being, is through amelus b'Torah, through toiling in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. That's the only way our minds are going to be transformed in looking at something that is transcendental, which is life. Only when our minds begin to toil in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. When that happens, I'm so thrilled that Rav Ron wasn't embarrassed to say this. Rav Ron, once standing here, said, "Of course. And when you sleep, you dream about Torah." It was like, it was an obvious thing to him. Like, what else would a person dream about? You're going to dream about the last sitcom? Then it becomes part of your life. It becomes part of your life. It becomes part of your perspective. It becomes how you dream. How many of you know I'm fond of the story that Rav Shach, when he was older, the doctor said that he wasn't getting enough sleep. And they said he had to go to sleep at 10 o'clock at night. And this was when the Rebbetzin was still alive. So the Rebbetzin put out the lights, and she ordered the Rosh Yeshiva to bed. So Rav Shach listened, or may believe that he was listening. After a couple nights, the Rebbetzin saw that Rav Shach was following her orders. And then it happened to be that one night she woke up 1 o'clock, she wasn't feeling so well. She turns over and the bed is empty. Rav Shach wasn't in the bed next door. No, Rabina Shlita says that they recall, the Bachrim, recall Rav Shach coming running into the Beis Medrash in pajamas. They used to sing, Israeli kids sing, Paro b'pajama ben tzalayla. So in Ponovich, there used to be a line, Rav Shach b'pajama ben tzalayla. So she climbed out, and Rav Shach had disappeared and went back to the Beis Medrash. So the next night, she locked the door. She woke up again. This time she needs to get up 1 o'clock to check. She went to check. Sure enough, Rav Shach had not gone to the Beis Medrash, but there he was. He was toiling over the Gemara. He couldn't. He couldn't sleep. So much sleep. Doctor said he needed it. So she locked the door. It didn't work. So she decided that she's going to turn off the fuse box. And Rav Shach, of course, had no idea where the fuse box was. She's going to turn off the fuse box. And then he's going to get up. He's going to try. The door's locked. He's stuck. He's going to have to go back to sleep. And then she went to sleep a few nights. She didn't even bother setting her alarm for 1 o'clock to check up on him. Sure enough, a week later, she wakes up again. She checks the bed. She can't see anything because all the fuse box is off for her, too. She looks around. They're not young. They're not a young couple. And sure enough, she feels around the bed where Shach is gone. So now she has the challenge that she's got to grope her way around the house looking for her husband, not trip over anything. And she's looking around. She finally gets... She's looking around. She can't find him. Fuse box is hard. She had one of the Talmidim turn it off. So she's looking all over the house in the dark. She pulls out a candle. Where did she find Rav Shach? She found him in the laundry room by the boiler. You know the boiler has this light, LED light to show you where to turn on. And Rav Shach was on a chair, bending over, learning. That's what happens when one goes miderech hamisa l'derech hachayim. A person begins to dream in Torah. A person's life begins to become fused with something that's different. It's no longer caught in the corporeality of being. But there's something else that happens, the Gemara says. Let's continue on. Ima darvon ze mitaltel, av divrei Torah mitaltelin. Well, the Pasuk in Kohelet goes further. A yoke could be moved around. maybe the Torah could be adjusted. Maybe what's going to happen is, and here I'm adding interpretation, people will try, and people have tried to take Torah and adjust them to Western values. At the end of the day, there's some things that don't fit so well in Western values. But the words of Kohelis are meduyak. After re Torah metaltlin, Talmud lomar mismaros. It's not just simply an intellectual exercise, but there are certain absolute things that can't be budged, even if they don't fit into the perspective of our Western culture. Mismaros, they're like nails. And they don't move. Because you know what's going to happen when you're going to move them? Moses Mendelssohn tried to move it over. By the way, he was a sincere Orthodox person. He tried to move them over to fit to German culture. And it's happening today in 2015 in New York City. Things haven't changed. But the moment we do that is the moment we lose that beautiful thing that's the Derech HaChaim, and those are our absolute values. Because if you're going to change the values of the roles of men and women in Avodas Hashem, eventually you're going to come along and you're going to justify Chilul Shabbos. Dai Chochma B'Remiza. Imas Merzeh Choser V'lo Yeser Afti Reitera Chisein V'lo Yeserin. But if you're going to go so far, you're going to make it rigid, so then in such a case, continues Chazal, but what does a nail do? When a nail bangs into, the wood begins to splinter. It takes away from a person. It limits a person. What about my intellectual creativity? What about the world that we have to adjust and change to certain realities? There's a beauty in that dynamic of Teirish about Peh. Aftiv rei Torah porin viravin. So the Kohelis points out that on the one hand, it's this yoke, and it's absolute, and that's what gives it its transcendental component. But then at the same time, it's kinituin. If a person is committed to that amelus b'Torah, on the one hand, it's absolutely firm, its values will not budge, and those who try to budge those values will ultimately fall and will not be part of the Mesorah. But at the same time, if you attach yourself to it, it's also like Natum, it's also like plants. It's also like trees. Manitiyazu preyurvei avdivrei teira parin viravin. Just like when it comes to the power of the tree, that a tree gives off offspring, so to you, if you stick to the Divrei Torah Arkim Ismaros, the absolute values of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah, then you will become a part of a system that multiplies and grows. Of course, the greatest irony is that both the Rambam, Morana Rambam Zatzal, I'm going to say this, I don't think any context, again, I will ever say this, that Morana Rambam, Morana Shulchan Aruch were wrong about one thing. Each one of them said, I am writing a book, and the book is Kadosh Kadoshim. Loshen Azov Shel Rambam. I am writing a book, and this book will be the final word of Halacha, and you won't have to get confused by looking at other Mefarshim, because the Gemara is so confusing, describes the Rambam. Comes along Rabbi Yosef Cairo 400 years later and says, I'm going to write a book that is the day in, day out guide of life. And it will be the bottom line. And it won't be confusing. Divrei Torah Parin V'Ravin, there's been more that has been written on the Rambam than I think any work from the medieval times. I think even more than L'Havdil Alef Alfei Havdalot, Avodah Zarah of Christianity. And look at the Shulchan Aruch today and the Mefarshei Shulchan Aruch and Poiskim Al Poiskim Divrei Torah Parin V'Ravin. But it's not only referring to Divrei Torah Parin V'Ravin in terms of the beauty of how Torah multiplies, but there's something else. You are those Nituim. You become part of the Chachmei HaMesorah. If you stick to the Divrei Torah HaMismarim, then ultimately you become a part of those who plant and produce a new set of fruits of Torah. And that is the third part of learning bi'iyun as opposed to learning bikiyus. If a person is going to be learning bikiyus and is going to be assimilating information, they have no right to an opinion because they haven't spent enough time thinking about that material. But if a person is omel on a Rashi, a Gemara Rashi, you don't have a right yet to disagree on the Rambam who had all of Shas on his fingertips. But you know what? You now become part of the Chachmei HaMesora. With a lot of conditions. Depends on what you do with yourself in the next 60 years. But now you become part of the Netiya Sheparin V'Rovi. Rav Soloveitchik described so beautifully that in his father's house he felt the Rambam come in. He felt the Ravid alive, and eventually his father's explanation to Rambam and Ravid became alive to his students, that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik now walks in the door. He would say he would feel the Rambam and Ravid next to him. Now Rav Moshe Soloveitchik comes in, Rav Chaim comes in, and Rav Shechter or Rav Braunschweiger come in. May they be well. When you see Rav Nevenzahl, you see Rav Shlomo Zalman holding on to him. That's Divrei Torah Parim Ravim Bitnai Shehen Kimasmorois. On that condition. So Rabosai, let's summarize and answer the question and then go a little bit deeper. The answer to the two questions of why a person should learn Bi'iyun as opposed to learning Bikiyus, not as opposed, to complement his Bikiyus. By the way, a person who just learns Bi'iyun, in my opinion, does learn Bikiyus, ultimately is going to be very much handicapped. You need to complement it. But the value of learning Bi'iyun at this formative age is three things. Number one, it teaches us to begin to think in a sense of absolute values and transcendental, and develops a transcendental relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's number one. We described that leads to number two, dreaming in Torah. That person becomes consumed with Torah. And that moment in which he becomes consumed with Torah, then he becomes an individual that is not only one who thinks the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to him to think, but of course, you know, I always say that if a boy is learning Maseches Kedushin seriously, at the end of the day, how could he do with girls the things that he did in the past? So not only is his thinking process transformed, so then his whole ma'us, what is he looking for? What is his she'ifa? When he wakes up in the middle of the night, what does he want to do? He wants to watch a sitcom or he wants to do something else? But a person has to be consumed with it. And number three, as the Gemara brought out, it's Divrei Torah are parin v'rovin on two different levels. Number one, that Divrei Torah are developed in that the world of Torah becomes wider and wider and more beautiful. But it means something else. And that is that you become a chelik of that Masorah. In one way or another, every single one of you should be a Jewish father. And Be'ezer Hashem, you're going to be passing that on to another generation. And even more than that, whether a person becomes a lawyer or he becomes a Rebbe, or he's a businessman, at the end of the day, Rav Shechter says often, he thinks that the best of his Talmidim aren't necessarily the Mechanchim. I felt uncomfortable when he was saying that. But the best of my Talmidim aren't ones who go into Jewish education. Some of them are successful lawyers and doctors. Some of them, he says, are the ones that write the best Sfarim, not the ones who are Rabbeim. I remember the simcha that he received once I was with him, and a student of his that was a lawyer brought him his sefer of Chidushei Torah. Divrei Torah are parin v'rovin, and that means that every single one of us could be a chelik of the Masorah, and has to be. Because if it doesn't work that way, then God forbid we're no different than the Karaites. Then the Divrei Torah are just mismarim, but we don't become a chelik of the development of God's Torah. And that's the answer to the significance of B'chukosai Telechu versus in B'chukosai Tim Osu. What is our relationship with God? Is it orthodox style? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that if it's orthodox style, then he views that the nothing less than being ma'us b'dvar Hashem. Viewing God's word as disgusting. Because that's not what he wants. He doesn't want orthodox style. He wants someone who becomes attached to something that's divine. Because we have two parts to us. We have a body and we have a soul. And the question is whether we're going to elevate our soul. Let's go a drop deeper into the Gemara. The Gemara continues. Such a beautiful, beautiful Gemara. Balei Asufos, 10 lines in. First word in line is Torah. Balei Asufos, those who gather things in. So on both sides, let's jump into it, right? We're going to learn B'Iyun. Beautiful, we've answered all the questions. You're convinced. Every single one should be convinced. But let's be honest now, continues the Gemara, the way we're reading the Gemara, is that the Gemara says, it's hard, it's not easy. No one said in the last 20 minutes that this is easy. That, if you notice, we never ever said. Continues the Gemara. Balei Asufos. Elu Talmidei Chachamim Sheyoshvin Asufos Vasufos Voskim B'Torah. There are different camps. There are different Darche Alimud in Iyun. Not only that, it gets even more confusing. Halolu Mitamin V'Halolu Mitarin. Sometimes, right, you heard that this posik said it's mutter and this person says it's asur. Halolu oisrin v'halolu matirin. Some say it's asur and mutter. Halolu posim, halolu matirin. Shema yomar odom. Maybe a person will say, heichani lo meitorah me'ata. It's daunting. Maybe we can even add the word ata means the way I am now. I'm not ready. How am I capable in throwing myself in the way these Gedolei Torah that we described before, the way we described Rav Ron and Rav Shach? How is a person able to do that? Talmud Lomar, so that's why the pasuk goes on. Kulam nosnu miroa echad. Kel echad nosna. Parnes echad amran. It comes from God. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who passed it down. Parnes echad amar mipi adon kol amasim baruch hu. Comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself. Dichsiv vayidaber elokim eskalam dver meila. Af, here's the critical line. Af ato asei oznecha kimir pachas ki aparcheses. You too make your ear like aparcheses. Aparcheses means, I looked it up in the Jastro, aparcheses means a grain receiver. The grain, when it is cut, it then goes into what's called aparkesis. Uknei lecha leiv meivin lishmoa es divrei mitamim ves divrei mitarim. You have to bend your ear and listen to your Rabbein. In order for a person to attain the three things that we described, to be consumed with Torah, to think the way the Torah thinks, to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mesorah, it's not enough for him to be sitting in front of a bunch of Sfarim Kedoshim. It's hard work. Look at the Lashon of the Gemara. Asei aznecha ki arpachasas. A person has to bend his ear. Rabosai, I just finished an article for a YU journal just right after Sukkot, and I wrote about this, and it bothers me a lot. When I was in yeshiva, there were boys who sat by Rabbeim for 5-10 years. I look at YU today, I'm not talking about our yeshiva now, I'm talking about other yeshivas, maybe larger yeshivas, Lakewood, Yeshivas Rabbein Yitzchak Elchanan, Mir Yeshiva, Chevron, Merkez Harav, Gush, I don't care what color, what style. How many boys are there that are totally bending their ears to their Rabbein? There might be more Chavrusas today in the Olam HaYeshivas. But you know why we, I say we, Rav Ginzburg, myself, other Rabbeim, there are Talmidim of the Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik. You know why we have a beautiful Mesorah from Rav Soloveitchik? It's because Rav Soloveitchik had Talmidim who sat by him for years and years and years. You know how Lakewood became Lakewood? Because there were Talmidim that were mevatel themselves to Rav Aaron Kotler for years and years and years. The way in which the Mesorah is dependent on is Talmidim that have an ozen shomas, an ear that's going to listen. And listening is being lost today, both in Shalom Bayis and in terms of the Shalsheles HaMeseirah. How many people in Ponovich today are listening the way people used to listen to Rav Shach and Rav Shmuel Rozovsky and Rav David Pivarsky? How many? And notice the Lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara goes on and the Gemara quotes, Afa, we're not even going on, repeating the same line. Afa toa seyaz lecha karpachachas uknei lecha lev mevin. And with this you acquire a heart to understand. You remember we spoke about all the way in the beginning the contrast between Amelus B'Torah and all other secular disciplines that is built on a world of relativism? It could be that a person in the world of relativism, in the world of university, that individual can have a perspective where he studies only in his head. But to have the above three properties, to think the way the Torah wants you to think, to be consumed by a Kaddish Baruch Hu's Torah, and to be part of the Mesorah, a person needs more than just his intellect. He needs an oizen, he needs an ear, and he needs a lev. I mentioned in one of the Musar Shmuzim, all of you have heard his name, but I don't know if you appreciate that much about him because he's a difficult person to understand his Torah. Everybody's heard of the Nazir, right? We have the Nazir room downstairs. I'm not going to go through the whole history of Rav David HaKohen the Nazir. He's one of the principal Talmidim of Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk Zatzal. The Nazir's magnum opus is a very, very deep and complicated work called Kol HaNevuah. But there's a simple thesis in the Nazir's work. And what the Nazir there describes is he contrasts Judaism and Judaism's philosophy to Greek philosophy. And he says that Greek philosophy emphasizes the tzura form and empirical study. Judaism doesn't emphasize ri'iyah, seeing. In fact, he says the word hashkafa, he believes, is not entirely a Jewish word. He doesn't think that one should describe Torah as a Torah hashkafa, because to claim that a person could see with clarity is false. God sees. God has a vision. Hashkifa mimon katshecha. What we have, the greatest power that we have is Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, is the ability to listen. And the difference, we could take the Nazir's idea further, is that a person that sees and studies with their head an empirical study, the interface of Torah and science requires a separate time when we discuss. The difference between empirical study and Torah is that empirical study stays in the head. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, when a person bends his ear to Sinai, that, the Gemara described, and the Nazir Kamat says this, is when the heart is transformed. Rabosai, some of you have come here for skills. Skills are really important. But at the end of the day, if that's all you've come for, you've come for skills, you could take it and throw it with all the science books. Because all it is it's going to remain in the head. You might be able to put the question marks and the periods in the right place, and you might be able to read Talmud a little bit better. But what we're here to do with you is something much deeper. It's not only in the Rosh, it's in the Lev. And that's this, what this beautiful Gemara is describing. The beautiful dialectic between the Mismaros and the Netuos. The beautiful dialectic of the Chachmei HaMesorah and his challenges. And that's the difference between him b'chukosai teilechu and him b'chukosai temasu. Be'ezer Hashem, when we learn b'iyun, we should develop a lev l'shmoa, and with that we'll be zocha to be mamshich b'shalshelas ha'misora, not fall for the traps of some of the beautiful values of Western society, but ultimately some of those values are deeply antithetical to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. And the Nazir himself describes so beautifully that conflict between Yavon and Yahavus. That's why we call it Kehim Chayim Uvarech Yamim. That's why this is our life. It's our struggle for spiritual existence. May we be zocha to be amel together in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Be iu and rav. One day no shas as well. And Be'ezer Hashem to be Mekadei Shem Shemayim, to continue to be a Or LaGoyim, to remind the world of what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are values, and what is someone who is truly an Ish Elokus.